World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, how you doing this morning? I had a pretty much a joy-filled weekend, believe it or not. I had the opportunity to drive up to the Fellowship of the Cross in Jamestown, New York, and speak in a church yesterday. And Pastor Aaron and everybody up there, they were unbelievable. You know what's really unique about it? First of all, that's where Lucille Ball was born. Jamestown, New York. Didn't know that. They say she's buried back there. They probably tried to turn it into a, like they did with Andy Griffith, tried to turn it into a tourist area. I don't know if they have much of a tourist area off of it. But it was really, I was really blessed to be there because it is a group of woke Christians. See, help me out here. Does woke mean you're crazy lefty? Or does woke mean, okay, so that's what I thought, Spencer. Woke is a crazy lefty. Well, they're not crazy lefties. They're awake. They're a remnant that's awake. That left, many of them left different denominations and came together and started a series of home groups, home churches. Yeah, home churches. And Kim has been after me to come up there for quite a while, and I was able to get up there this weekend. And I was blessed beyond what I can even say for me having the opportunity to go up there. And to know that there are pockets of Christians like this all across the fruit of the plain. Now, I told them, and I believe this, I'd have to check my schedule. I think it's been over a year since I've been able to stand in a pulpit. I think it's been over a year. Of course, churches haven't been open, right? But they don't like my message. Churches don't like my message. And so all of a sudden they just kind of shut me down a little bit, you know? I always tell the pastor when I come in, I said, I'm not going to make a mess, pastor. I'm not going to come in here and pee in your puddle. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to edify body of Christ. May not feel like they're being edified, but it'll be good, and I'll leave, and you can get back to normal. But I went in there yesterday, and they were just wow. It was really, really good. About 4 hours and 15 minutes to drive up there. Went up on Saturday. Spent the night, came home Sunday, did the event, came up. They keep feeding you. I had to eat two meals, three meals, actually. Ran into Serge up there. Man, it's good to see Serge. What a faithful soldier Serge is. And just like everybody else, folks, our buddy Serge needs prayer. We all need prayer. And I think we would be honest, or less than honest, maybe that would be the better term. We would be less than honest if we didn't admit that many of us live a very isolated Christian life. Very isolated. And the whole idea of trying to put the salt and light brigades together and everything is to try to break through on that that loneliness, that stand alone. And we know this, right? Many of us, the battle's in our own home with our own family. And that's a terrible one to have. That's why I so love my wife. And she's behind me. Sometimes she's behind me with a shovel, smacking me in the back of the head, but she's always behind me. And she, you know, she barks at me sometimes, a well-deserved bark. But we're one. We're one. You know, it comes back to something I was talking about last week, the disunity within the family structure. I don't know how we get it back. I really don't. And even more so, even the disunity within the church family structure. If we don't get this thing straightened out, if we can't all get on the same page, and if we can't all lay down our swords against each other, folks, I was a football coach. You can't have dissension in the huddle.
Amen, Coach.
It doesn't matter what play's been called. If there's dissension in the huddle, it's not going to work. And sadly, every time we come together, I'm not just talking about here, I don't mean we get together in fellowship with others. If you invited some people over to your house for a Bible study or a home church, most of them would think they're going to go to Jim Jones, right? The thought and the idea of most Christians to do church outside of the building is they can't get their mind wrapped around it. It's because, again, Jesus said they teach his commandments the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. The doctrines and traditions of men. And there's a great reformation coming in the American church. Great, great reformation. My buddy, I always try to give credit to John, who says there's going to be a rude awakening before there's a great awakening. I believe there's a great awakening, but I believe there's going to be an unbelievable, huge rude awakening first. We're sitting on the precipice of it. I want to run down a list here. I know Chad, did you have a good event up there? Chad, did you get up this morning?
Yeah, it was a great event. I had about 32 people.
Awesome. Anything you want to tell us about it, or is it just good and keep pushing ahead? I'm not trying to pull any information out of you.
Nah, it's good. Also, we had at the feelers and asked people to bring donations here for the Louisiana folks. And so we had a little mercy ministry go. You know, so my truck's full, ready to go. I'm going to have to throw a tarp on it because I didn't know it was still raining over there. So we did good, though. And, you know, and getting ready for some the other stuff, did a little bit of tactical stuff, but did a lot more spiritual stuff. And that's what's going to save us, not the tactical stuff. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thanks, Chad. Serge, I don't know if Serge is in here this morning or not. Serge, you any? God bless Serge, man. He's up there plowing away by himself. He's making a difference. Went to the Buffalo Bills game, not yesterday, but last week. Slamming away, man. Going to Planned Parenthood. And I never, ever hear from him. He's just out there. He's just out there doing his job. And anybody that's ever been any kind of boss or business owner, isn't it great to hire somebody you have to check in them every day? And that's the way I feel about Serge. Not that I hired him, but he grabbed the horns and he ran with him. Betty's back from North Dakota. I always want to say one of those Dakotas. 2 weeks out there. I'm not going to talk about the private things that happened with Betty. But Betty, even in her midst out there of trying to honor her brother's death, Betty's out there worrying about everybody else. And Betty, I just want you to know how much we appreciate you and all that you do. I need some of that ivermectin. I got some. I went to our local, Farm and Fleet, whatever they call that thing anymore. They don't have hardly any of it anymore. I went to another one. And I asked the guy for ivermectin. He said, you mean that stuff that's making people sick? I said, no, dude. I'm talking about the stuff that's saving people's lives. He just looked at me. He said, well, that's horse paste made for horses. I said, yeah. What about water? Horses drink water. Am I not allowed to drink water? They don't get it. They're so stupid. So stupid. Unbelievable. Alan Zeifer is coming to town today here. He's been in Ohio for probably a month doing his pretzel business. And he and Tammy are heading this way. So Roger Weaver, anybody out there close, wants to get together and spend some time with Alan, he will be in town today and tomorrow, I think, Alan. Could be wrong. So you're welcome to text me, say, hey, Coach, yeah, I'd like to meet that big old loudmouth. Get a chance to sit down and talk to that old loudmouth. So, Alan, there you go, brother. We'll see you get some folks. I'm taking you out to dinner tonight, Alan, so don't eat. Fellowship of the Cross, Sky High. Hey, yeah, we're doing Sky High. It's a couple weeks away. Come on and join us. You know, I kind of backed out off. I'm saying 200 and yada, yada. Because, you know, I became a little bit concerned about, after I got back from Barge Fest, I became a little bit concerned about infiltration. And I don't think there's any doubt, and there's no doubt in my mind, and there's no doubt in Dr. Tenpenny's mind, and Mel, and Scott Kesterson, and I could go through a list, that something was released upon us when we were at Bard's Fest. I got really, really sick. Really, really sick. We all got sick about the same time. And so been kind of low key in it because I want everybody to come. But when everybody comes, you don't know who everybody who comes, do you? So we'd love you all to be there. Register online. And some said, Coach, I don't do online registration. Just send me an email. Say, hey, I'm coming with three of my friends. And we just need to know from a food standpoint and a Jiffy John standpoint. So that's the week of 15, 16, and 17, I think. And one more thing. Is there one more thing here? I just gotta. Oh, yeah, good. Spencer, pull up the business card.
And Dave, that's October 9th weekend.
That's what I said, didn't I?
No, 15th. No, it's October 9th weekend. Sorry.
It's October 9th weekend, Chad. Thanks. October 9th weekend. Yes. Go ahead, Betty.
Nope, I didn't. Okay. Oh, sorry. I must accidentally hit the mic.
Okay, cool. Okay. So, folks, I had some business cards made up. Actually, this is pretty cool. Terry Ladrick is, God bless Terry, does a lot of good stuff for me. This is the ChristianRevolution.com with a website on it. And then there's another guy in the queue. He said, hey, Coach, I made up some cards. And so Terry is printing up a series of cards. But I needed some for this weekend that, on the back of it, it says, can you pull it up there, Spence? Or is it up there? I'm stuck on my own screen, maybe. Yeah, it's up on the screen. So you guys can all see it. And on the back, it says, taking the fight through Christ to the front lines. ChristianRevolution.net. Now, if you're interested in getting, I was going to, I got a bunch. And Terry's sending me a bunch more. But for me to take 100 of these and put them in a, and send them to you, it's crazy how much that costs just to send 100 of these little things, right? So if you're interested in printing up some of your own cards, email me or text me or do whatever, and I will send you the link at the local Staples store. And you can simply walk into the Staples store and say, I'd like to have some of these printed up. They come in, I think it was 500, 1,000. I think there's a price break off and everything. I think I got 1,000 of them for $35, I think. So if you're interested, this really helps what's going on. And Terry's is a little bit different, and he's working on those. And Don Stinson says in Wisconsin, load up on the ivermectin. They're going to take that stuff away from his friends. All right, they're going to. Cool, so we got some business cards. What else? All right. That's good. That's good. Hang on. Oh, I got to show you this. Hang on. Pull up that little picture of that little fearfully and wonderfully made guy. Can you believe that? And I've never said this about any of my grandchildren, but I see me in this little guy. I see me in him. That's Declan. And they're taking all the, we're really excited because on Friday night, he farted. Ooh, he farted. That means something's for the first time working down there. And then yesterday, if I got it right, yesterday he had a little bit of they've been giving him a little bit of milk, very, very little. And yesterday he had a little BM. So things are looking up. He is fearfully and wonderfully made. And we just thank all of you for the prayers.
Amen.
Looks like he's ready to take over CoachDaveLive.com, doesn't it? What it looks like. Come on in, Alan. Got your hand up there in the air. Thanks.
Hey,
for
Coach,
all you. Thanks for everybody that prayed for him. Okay. I'm sorry, Alan. Thanks for everybody that prayed for our family. Appreciate it. Go ahead, Alan.
No, Coach, I was just going to say real quick, if you'll go to that Valley with a V, like victory, valleyvet.com, that's where I get my ivermectin.
Valleyvet.com.
Valleyvet.com. Yep.
Folks, listen, here's what you need to understand about this. Same thing, ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. See, the CDC right now, the only reason they can give you the shot is because it's considered to be an emergency situation because they have no cure. Well, if there's a cure that comes up for whatever this thing is that's floating around, if they get a cure for it, then they no longer can give you an experimental emergency vaccination. So the CDC and the health, they don't want any cures because they want to jab you. Can't make it any more plain than that. That's the truth. So we know now that ivermectin, did you know, what was it, India? Was it India? One of those countries is totally COVID-free. They gave to every citizen in, I think it's India. They gave to every citizen in India ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. And the disease no longer exists. Did you guys know that? Are we doing that here? No, because we, you know, I don't want to beat that. I don't want to beat that horse. All right. I don't want to beat it. Come on in, Betty. And then Jeff, go ahead. Oh, by the way. Yeah. Jeff, let me bring Jeff in first. Jeff Klein and his crew kicking butt, man. They're kicking butt up there, going to school board meetings. We got some more lined up tonight, making them squirm. It's so good. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, for anybody that is coming tonight, they changed the location. The room we met in at the field house would only hold about 20 people, maybe, or 25. They have moved it to Twin Oaks Elementary School to the cafeteria because Fredericktown had 150 last week. We all went up there, so they're expecting people. But it's just, it's unbelievable. They just, well, you've seen the text I got you. They, come on, Jeff, you need to do this out of love and blah,
yeah,
blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yep. Gag me.
We got to love our neighbors here, right? Got to love our neighbors.
We're going to do the 6 o'clock Mount Vernon meeting. Participation will be over at 6:15. Then we're all packing up, however many come. We're all packing up from there and heading straight to the Danville meeting. Starts at 7. We can hit 2 school board meetings in one night. So it's going to be good.
Friends, listen to me. I think this is a great plan. And Jeff and I were having a conversation yesterday as I was coming home from I Love Lucy Land. And here's what I think we need to do. Folks, we know this. The people on the school board, they have made up their mind. We don't know why. They've made up their mind. And so you can go there and you can have 30 of you take 3 minutes and give them facts and facts and facts and facts. Folks, they've made up their mind. Somebody behind the curtain is pulling their strings. Who is it? I don't know. Here's what I suggest. If you go to your school board meeting and you get your 3 minutes, I would do one thing. I would stand up there and say, minutes, right? I would say, Mr., you're not allowed to call out their name. I think that's like rude. So I would just point at the first school board member and I would say, sir, there are thousands of people in this community that you represent and you're ignoring our requests. Who's pulling your string? And then I'd just shut up. Let there be a real silent pause. And then I would move to the next one. Ma'am, there are thousands of people in this community that you represent and you're not representing us very well. Who's pulling your string? And let there be another. Folks, listen, they don't want information. The decision has been made behind the curtain. And I would take 3 minutes and I would let that pregnant pause hang in the air. They're not going to answer it. But now everybody sitting in that room, what are they going to be thinking? Who's pulling their string? Who's really controlling this thing? I think it's a great suggestion. Take it if you want to. Craig, come on in, then Betty.
Yeah, Coach, I would like maybe to, I don't know what I want to say, but India, America no longer manufactures anything but sickness. It's our number one domestic product in this country is the medical industry.
Sickness, good call.
Unless the defense industry, where we go around, you know, we're always funding that. We don't make televisions. We don't make anything. We're not making our own cars, but we're going to make sickness, and we want everybody sick so we can keep that industry alive. So our gross domestic product, we're still manufacturing something, is just my thought on that.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point, man. We manufacture and export sickness. Good point. Betty.
Yes, Dingo quit, sorry. But anyway, when I was in North Dakota, I took ivermectin every morning because I knew 90% of them were jabbed. Plus, I took my vitamins and then I took my hydroxychloroquine like directed. The thing is, when you call either D's Tackle and Supply or Valley Vet, they are now going to call you and ask you if you have horses. I have a girlfriend that said she couldn't lie, so she told them no, so she couldn't get it. I told him, do you want to lie and save your life, or do you want to lie and...
Oh, no, Betty. See, that's another one of those sacred cows I'd like to take on.
Yes.
Because yes. I don't all. I
told her, did I tell her that she has a load of horses and she also breeds them? To just tell them a lie because you need to. It's a righteous lie. That's what I told her. It's a righteous lie.
So if somebody breaks into my house tonight and they say, where's your wife? Would it be a sin if I said, oh, she's out of town? Would that be a sin? Scripture says, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. That you're not to lie, ever lie to injure another person. But I believe it's okay to lie to protect. Uh-oh, I didn't know. There you go, Coach. There you go. Why? Because the purpose of the law is protection. It's protection. I don't want to get into it. I don't want to start a fight. I don't want to start another fight.
Well, I want to also say that if these people want to get ivermectin, they better get it. Because by next week, it's going to be $10.99 and you're going to only be allowed $5. Betty, and then they're going to come to your house and say, where's your horses?
I couldn't believe it.
Don't we all have a horse in glory, Coach? Don't we all have a horse in glory?
We do. We do, brother. Huh? And what's that Rolling Stone song? Wild horses couldn't drag me away. Right? Wild horses. That's where I am with it. Wild horses couldn't drag me away. And when they say, Coach, do you have a horse? Say, yeah, I'm a stallion, dude. I'm a stallion. It's for me. You don't have the authority to tell you can't. I got several friends who they call their doctor. If you call your doctor and he won't give you ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, I would run faster than I'd run from a pastor if they won't give you that stuff, folks. We know that other one was Remdesivir. Say it again.
Remdesivir
is poison, and it's the protocol. It's the one they give you, and it destroys your kidneys. So, hey, do what you want, man. Do what you want. Dr. Sherry says, run from the hospital. Run from the hospital. Oh, I got so much stuff. I gotta get out there in here real quick. No, I won't go there. Let's see. Okay. Let me get who was in there. I think Larry was in first, then Dale. Go ahead, Larry.
Okay, I think Dale was first, but I'll go ahead.
All right, just let's go. Let's go.
All right. You know, lying and bearing false witness are two different things. You look in the scriptures, David lied right up, you know, up one side and down the other when he talked to King Ziklag about what he'd been doing. He'd been out whooping up on King Ziklag's allies, and he tells King Ziklag he was whooping up on his fellow Jews. So David lied right and left to King Ziklag. Mm. But bearing false witness is declaring something that is false in front of a court of law or for justification. And that's a difference than lying.
Or specific,
lying can be used to accomplish God's work.
To specifically injure an innocent person. That's to bear false witness against your neighbor. Bear false witness. Say something that's not true. I will lie. I will lie to the ends of the earth to protect my family. In fact, those days are coming, folks, when you're maybe going to have to face that. And if you're stuck in that idea that you're not allowed to lie to protect your family, I don't even know what to tell you. I don't even know what to tell you. Huh? Dale, then Craig.
Amen, Coach. I mean, first off, I want to appreciate everything everybody's doing through Pass the Salt, because there is the prophetic. And you know me, I'm all prophetic. We'll go to the abortion clinic tomorrow and the mercy part of it. But you're absolutely right. What did the Germans do when they came and asked the people who were hiding the Jews in the walls of their house, right? Is there any Jews in here? No, exactly. What did the midwife say unto Pharaoh, right? These Israelites, they're strong. They bearing these babies before we can get them out. You know, that's exactly it, brother. The lie is if you're doing this to harm or hurt or defame a person, that is that bearing of the false witness. Brother, I appreciate you. I appreciate everything everybody's doing. Brother, we are rocking and rolling, and we are ministering the gospel. We have Bibles. We need more Bibles, and I appreciate you.
Thanks, Dale. Appreciate you guys, too, right?
It is.
Yeah.
My wife just yelled out, Rahab lied to protect the lineage of Christ.
Amen, brother. So, again, that's one of those things that we have to, you know, never lie to advance evil. Never lie to advance evil. Never lie to take advantage of someone else. Never lie to get a foot up on someone else. But love protects. I will lie to protect my family. I will. Do you hear me? I will lie to protect my family. That is not a sin. It's not a sin. I'm not going to lie to defraud. I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to lie to protect my family. Come on, Coach.
I'm sorry. Can I finish this one thing? My dogs that are at my house, they identify as horses.
Amen. Amen. So do I. I identify as a stallion. Come on in, Craig, then Susan.
Hey, Coach, I'm going to send you a link. Remember, Dr. Zelenko, I believe it actually is on your website.
Yes, sir.
What he says, if when you go to the 17-minute mark, which I'll point out to you, what he says is, he says, when Kumo took away the hydrochloroquine, all right, he went in and he researched it. What his, if you really go back and listen to what he's saying, he says it's not the hydrochloroquine or the ivermectin. They're the agent that actually goes into the cell. They synergize with the zinc. You have to have the zinc. Yes. So what he says in his little, the zinc is the issue. The delivery system is the hydrochloroquine or the ivermectin. So what he did is he said, he went through the NIH papers and wow, he found this thing called quercetin. And we've talked about that before. Quercetin, in his words, is a 20 gauge bullet. Okay. The ivermectin and the hydrochloroquine are 50 caliber bullets. I mean, they're the big ones, but the quercetin works just as well, not as potent. So if you can't get ivermectin, get quercetin. All right. So I went to the Quercetine, I believe.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm going to send you that link with that video. You look at it and maybe it's something you might want to play for the queue. All right.
I'll do that.
It's very, very important. And here's the deal. I went in the other day and I said, hey, where's your quercetin? He's like, it's pretty much sold out. I said, he's unpacking a new box. And I said, it's out. Right. He said, yeah. He says, it's one of the four pillars. So this is the guy in the vitamin shop. They know. Vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, and quercetin, okay? And the big guns are hydrochloroquine and ivermectin. They get the zinc, but the whole thing is we're focusing on it's the zinc. It's the zinc that's doing this, that's stopping the replication.
There you go.
And if anybody feels led to gift me some ivermectin horse paste, you can tell that you're buying it for me. And I'll be glad to re-gift it to you. Okay. So you don't have to lie. All right. You can buy it for somebody else that has horses and I have a horse. So you don't have to lie. Gift it to me. I'll gift it back. We're all good with the Lord.
Amen. Thanks, Craig. Susan, come in. Then Jeff and Reggie.
I don't have horses, but I have goats. And you can use the horse paste for goats as well.
Well, then we ought to be giving it out in church. We ought to be giving it out in church then.
I know. So you don't tell them you don't have horses. Just tell them, I'm thinking about getting horses.
No, I didn't know, no, Susan, I'm going to tell them I'm a stallion. And then you tell them, Susan, you tell them that you're the old gray mare.
Well, there you go. There you go. I got it.
It's used for chickens, too. You can use it for chickens. So
There's a lot of chickens. So I'm going to go to the
chickens, too.
I'm going to go to the pastor meeting, and I'm going to hand it out to the pastors. It's for chickens. Come on in, Jeff. Jeff, Reggie, and Alan. Go, Jeff.
You look at Exodus chapter 1, starting at verse 15. But down here in verse 17, it says, but the midwives fear God.
Yep. Amen. Meaning that they didn't care what happened. They were going to tell the truth. Well, they weren't going to betray the master. Reggie.
Good morning, Coach. Thank you. I just want to build on that. A lot of people suffer from they don't know spiritual warfare. They don't have discernment. So they suffer from spirits and they don't understand. So if you're like all about the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil doesn't have an end. So you think, because you're not doing anything wrong. You're focused on 10 commandments, but what you're not realizing is there are spirits of religiosity and scrupulosity.
Hmm.
So they can't get you to go one way, the opposite. They'll get you to stay, remain within your ideologies of religiousness, and you'll be over scrupulous. You doubt everything. You think you're always sinning. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
A religious spirit, huh? Amen, Reggie. Thank you. Alan, and then Joe. And then I'm cutting it off at Joe because I'm going a different direction. Go, Alan.
Hey, Coach, I was just going to say I had hunting dogs down in Florida for years, and that's all I used was ivermectin. It kills every kind of internal parasite. It kills heartworms. It kills everything because I had a pack of 12 hunting dogs, and I couldn't afford at that time to take them all to the vet. Ivermectin kills fleas, ticks, the whole nine yards on your dog.
All right, brother. Hey, Alan, when are you going to be here?
Should be there around lunchtime, Coach. We're on the way now. We got to stop washing clothes and stuff.
Okay, let's do me real quickly. I may not be here at lunchtime. I got to run an errand, okay? So if I'm not, sit here and make yourself at home, all right?
No problem, Coach.
Okay, we know you're coming. We're glad you're coming. We're going to take you out to eat. Actually, I'd like to make Roger Weaver take you out to eat. I don't know. Roger hadn't paid up on that other bet yet. I'll get to that later. Joe Allen, come on in.
We see the government illustrating making sure all government agencies take the shot. Yeah. I just had three friends of mine die that worked with me with the government. One got off the plane, went to visit his son. He died at his house. Blood clots in his lungs and his heart. This stuff ain't no joke.
Ain't no joke. Hey, listen, let me switch gears here real quick. I had a good talk with Serge this weekend. And Serge was giving me some guidance, wasn't taking me to the woodshed. We're talking about, he says, you know, sometimes in the after show, yada, yada, yada. And he says, Coach, sometimes you need to come out and say what you believe. And I said, well, I try to, Serge. He says, yeah, but he says, you know, you're kind of wishy-washy on certain things that I think you need to be more firm on. I said, well, what? What would be one of those, Serge? And he gave me one of them. I said, all right. Friends, here, I'm not afraid to tell anybody what I believe. All right? But again, I don't want to cause hardships and amongst the brethren in here over because someone else has a different, equally strong belief. And I don't want anybody to ever think that when they come into this show, they have to agree with me because they don't. And so I try to remain neutral sometimes because I don't want people to feel like they have to align with me on every issue. I try to play it straight in the middle. If you ask me what I think, I'll probably tell you. Will I tell you publicly? I don't know. Because there are so many pitfalls in doing that. And the last I get is me. I get tired of hearing somebody tell me what some pastor said. And I don't want people going around saying what Coach Dave said, because I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling just like you are. And I know some things that are true, and I know some things that are false, and there's a lot of things I know that I don't know. But I'm not afraid to tell you. If you want to know, I'm not afraid to tell you what I believe. All right? I love Catholics. I was raised Catholic. I think the Vatican's wicked. Is that okay? That's my belief. You believe whatever you want to. I love Catholics. I'm married one. I was one. The Vatican's wicked. The Pope's wicked. I'm not afraid to say that. So if you guys think I'm afraid to say things that's going to offend people, that's really not it at all. I would rather use an approach where we slowly throw the meat on the table and we cut it up. And at some point, we all eat it and come to the knowledge of the truth. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Doesn't have to be me hammering you. This is what I believe. This is what I believe. You have to believe it. And you know, that's most churches, isn't it? Basically, you have to believe what the pastor believes. I don't want this to ever be that. Ever. I don't want that to be that way. Yeah.
Dave, you went the show that we did, you did, I don't know, about 3 months ago, where you laid out and Larry helped and Dale helped. Laid out the essentials. If you don't believe in these essentials, you need to go to a different show. But that was an excellent show because the essentials we have to agree on.
That's right.
But all those liberals, Those are all distinctives that massage somebody's ego.
That's right, Jack. So the essential, yeah, maybe I need to bring that back up. The essentials we have to agree on. We have to agree on. Listen, I cannot walk with you if you think women, lesbians can be pastors. I can't walk with you. I think it's an essential. That's what I think. Doesn't have anything to do with whether I like the homo or don't like the homosexual. Doesn't have anything to do with that, right? So that's what I try to do here. I'm not trying to cause confusion. I'm trying to have an actual open discussion. Larry, come on in. And then Revelation 20, that's Jerry, I think.
Go ahead, Larry. Yeah, I just want to read one short paragraph that was written 21 years ago. I truly believe that the Holy Spirit has burned into my spirit that all of us who have accepted and believe in our hearts that the death and crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only acceptable sacrifice for our sins, that through his resurrection, we now have a new life in him by professing with our lips that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives, and that we must first decide to obey God by choosing to love one another before true unity can come about. I think that paragraph pretty much covers most of the essentials.
Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple. It's like I said the other day, that why are you here? That man on that cross said I could. That's the essential, right? That guy said I could come in. Jerry. Good word, Larry. Hey, Spencer, as he's coming in here, Spencer, I want you to pull up Who Am I? Go ahead.
It's actually Wes, Coach.
I'm sorry, Wes.
No, you'll get it one day.
I'm trying to memorize 180 of them here. Phone numbers, right?
I don't blame you, brother. All I wanted to say is I believe in flat earth, but I enjoy coming in here and hearing the cornucopia of ideas and thoughts and beliefs. I'm not going to let it ever stop me from wanting to be a part of Pass the Salt Live.
Right. It's not an essential, is it? Flat Earth. I mean, I think it's important, but it's not essential.
Nope,
it's not. And we got to be careful because we divide over it, right? And we have to also realize that that can cause division. And I catch myself, and I catch others, not purposefully, saying statements that purposely divide. We got to be careful with it, right? I want to share with you guys what I shared yesterday in Jamestown because I think it's significant. So I'm going to run through this real quickly with you, okay? I'm starting out today in Matthew 16, verse 13. And Jesus shows up at the coast of Caesarea Philippi, which I don't know if you guys know that. That is where Mount Hermon was, where the fallen angels descended. The Holy Spirit, in fact, actually descended there, I believe. I could be wrong on that. But it's a pretty critical place. And Mount Hermon was known as the gates of hell. Did you guys know that? Did you know that? It was known as the gates of hell. So in Matthew 16, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So there we get, Jesus is in his own queue. And he's saying, "Hey, what are they saying about me, boys? What's going on?" So he listens because these guys have been out, you know, they've been out doing street ministry, going in different areas. And so he's doing a little bit of debriefing. He sits them down and says, "What are they saying about me out there?" And they said, "Well, Lord, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Notice they didn't say he was Mother Teresa. You do notice that, don't you? They didn't say that he was Mr. Rogers. They compared him to three pretty hard-hitting dudes, John the Baptist, Elijah, and Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. They didn't compare him to Joel Osteen. But Jesus listened to all that malarkey, and he said, basically, "Hey, boys and girls," I guess it's boys, "Hey, boys, ain't none of that matters. Who do you say I am?" I'm pausing there because that is a very, very, very significant question that Jesus Christ asks us. In this COVID thing that we're in, who do you say he is? Right? because it will shape everything. And Simon Peter, the loudmouth, said, "Wow, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus falls back. I picture him falling back and catching his breath. Whoa. And Jesus said unto him, "Wow, Simon Bar-Jonah, blessed are you, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven." Now stop a minute. Peter is the first human being to get the revelation of who Jesus Christ was. He was the first one. That is a mark upon Peter that he cannot get away from. And he said unto you, said unto him, Jesus said, "So I say unto you that you're the Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man. He says, "Don't you dare tell them I'm the Savior. Don't you tell anyone." From that time forth, Jesus began to show to unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem, be suffered, killed. And Let's go back up, Pete. I want to show you something here. Okay, so Jesus, verse 18. Jesus said unto them, "Thou art Peter, Petros, the rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Folks, we have to ask ourselves in this dialogue. See, my whole life in church I've been taught that the Pope was the rock. The Pope was the rock of the church. I've been taught that that the revelation who Jesus is, that's the rock that the church is built on. But friends, we have to stop for a minute. We have to ask ourselves, where are they standing? Where are they standing? Physically, where are they? And he said unto you, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock." I believe he's pointing right where they, he is standing on the gates of hell, and he's telling his disciples, "I'm standing right here at the gates of hell. They're not going to prevail against the church." If you know who he is, who do men say he is? And we've lost that. And so here's Peter, who gets the greatest revelation ever given to a human being. First one to get that revelation as to who he was. And Jesus says, "You're right, brother. And we are going to battle right here at the gates of hell." Because why? Because God's given us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever we take authority over here on earth, it's going to be take authority over in heaven. And whatsoever we take authority over here on earth, it's going to be loosed in heaven. We have that authority here at the gates of hell. Literally, physically standing at the gates of hell when he says it. But I want you to follow something to me that is equally significant. And that would be the next one, Spencer. Are you converted? The first time the Lord unveiled this to me, I didn't even know what to say. Begin at verse, we are in Luke chapter 22. So at this point, this is a couple nights later, and these guys are all sitting around. They just did communion. If you go up and read, they just did communion. And communion is over. And Jesus begins to speak to them, and he says, "And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed." Jesus says, one of them is getting ready to sell me out. And the guy sitting at the table, I said, "What?" He began to look around. Not me. Who is it? Who's he talking about? And there also arose a strife among them. Funny how that happens, right? Of which of them should be accounted the greatest? So they're talking about, Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. And they all of a sudden begin to pull out their bona fides. They pull out their card, how good a Christian they have been. They're arguing over who's going to be in the kingdom and who's going to be the best. And Jesus listens to this, and he's about to pull his hair out. And he said unto them, dudes, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, meaning they get something out of what they're doing. And he's listening to these guys brag about all these great spiritual things they do. I'm not going to be trained. I did this, and I did this, and I did this. And he's grabbing his head, saying, oh, my goodness. And he says, but boys, that's not us. We don't do it for the benefits. He said, but verse 26, but you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief is he that doth serve. Who's greater? He that sits at the meat? Or he that serves the meat? Is it not he that sits at the meat? But he says, I'm among you as a servant. He's sitting there with all power available to him, and he's serving them. And he says, you are those which have contended with me in my temptations, and I have appointed a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. Yeah, I gave you a kingdom. You know, the Bible says we're going to rule over angels, right? That you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He's saying this to his disciples. Will you guys chill out? Will you chill out? If you'll just obey and do what I ask you to do here, you ain't going to believe the reward that's going to be there. Not because you earned it, but just because there's a reward that comes with your obedience. Stop it. Well, watch this. And then the Lord turned and looked over at Pete. I'd love to have been in that room. And he said, hey, Peter, Slewfoot's after you, bud. He's after you. And he's desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Why? Because Peter was the first one to get that revelation. He said, dude, with a gift comes persecution. But I've prayed for you. Imagine that, Jesus saying to you, I prayed for you, Larry. I prayed for you, Reggie. But I prayed for you that thy faith fail not. Here's the verse. And when thou art converted, strengthen your brothers. And I read that and I said, whoa, wait a minute. Peter got the revelation of who Jesus Christ was. Jesus said, you are the dude. I'm going to call you Petros from now on. And all this great anointing upon Peter. And look at this. Is Peter born again? Well, I don't know if you can be born again at that. The Holy Spirit hasn't come yet, right? But look what Jesus said to you. When you are converted, does that mean Peter went all in? Does that mean that even though God had given him the revelation of who he was, Peter wasn't all in? These guys are born as much as you can be born again without the Holy Spirit. This is his dudes. And he said, you still don't get it, Pete. And you're going to go through hell, dude. I'm telling you, you're going to go through hell, but I prayed for you. And when you get your mind right, when you actually come to being a full servant of me, you get up and you go strengthen your brothers. Now, we know what happens, right? In fact, you could continue, said, and well, look at this. This is Peter, right? And Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both into prison and to death. I'm all in, Lord. The Lord just told him he's not converted. And Jesus said unto him, listen, Pete, before that rooster crows this day, you're going to deny you even know me 3 times. Don't come here telling me how holy and righteous you are. Go down a bit. That's enough, because we know what happens. So I like to follow the story, and you can do it. You get it into Matthew. I think it's 56. I think it is. I might be wrong. Of the betrayal of Jesus. And the Bible says that when they arrested Jesus publicly, they arrested Jesus at night, that a lot of the disciples fled. They all fled, actually. But not Peter. It goes through, I just didn't have time to bring it up here this morning. You can check it out yourself. Peter shows up at the scene of the crime. He shows up at the arrest. The Bible says he's watching from afar. And he sees what they do. They drag him in before Caiaphas and they bring him out and they scourge him. Peter's watching all of this go on. And somewhere in the midst of this thing that's happening to the Lord, Peter says, "Oh my God. This guy meant it. He wasn't just talking. He was all in." And Peter looked around and saw how dirty his own heart was. Even though God gave him the revelation of who Jesus was, Peter was still in it for what he could get out of it. Last verse of that. So chapter 56, go there real quick, Spencer. I don't know if it is. Matthew 56. I think I could be wrong. That's not 56. No, that's not. I got you in the wrong place. The last verse says, "And Jesus went out and wept bitterly." I'm sorry. Peter went out and wept bitterly. And I would say that that was Peter's moment of conversion. When he went from being a believer to a true disciple, follower. And so the question I asked yesterday in the church, and I ask today, and I ask every opportunity I get, my friends, are you converted? Not just saved. Are you converted? Because Jesus told Peter, "You're going to do unbelievable stuff for me, buddy, but you are going to go on the rocky road to hell on the way there. And if you're not all in, you ain't going to make it." And so that's where we find ourselves today in America. Bible calls it what? Lukewarm. Jesus says, "I wish you were hot, either hot or cold, because if you're halfway in, unconverted, I'll spit you right out of my mouth." Verse 61 on the screen, and the Lord, go up to 60, Spencer. "About the space of 1 hour after, another confident and firm saying of a truth that this fellow was," they're getting on Jesus because he was following him around. Jesus, "No, I didn't do, not me." And Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know this guy." And immediately while he spake, the cock crew. And the Lord, get this picture. The Lord turned over his shoulder and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. There is a conversion of Peter. If we follow the story of Peter, what did he do? He went and gathered all those disciples and he brought them all back in to lead them to a violent death. That's heavy duty, folks. Are you converted? I mean, are you converted? Because we're going to come in, I believe, we're going to come into these type of days again. I believe we're going to see beheadings. I believe we're going to see some of this stuff. And if you're only halfway in, if you're just in it for the Christian benefits, whoo, you better, baby. Come on in, Mark. I'm sorry, only 6 minutes left. Let's go faster. MT, I think that's Mark, is it? MT? No?
Yeah, Dave, it's Matt Tice.
Okay, I'm sorry, MT. Matt Tice, go ahead.
Hey, I agree totally with your assessment. Believe it or not, I just happened to tune in just the time that you got into the thing about Peter being called to rock. And, you know, when you look at it, you know, he says, Jesus says to him that, you know, "You're Peter. This has been, you know, my name has been revealed to you by my Father in heaven." So he's saying, "Pete, yes, your name is Peter." And I believe he points to himself and says, "But I'm the rock. And I'm the rock that everything's built on." I believe that he's staying quiet. He's trying to tell Peter that, hey, you're just Peter, but I'm the rock. I believe he's pointing to himself saying, I'm the rock.
I can accept that, but I think he's talking about where he's standing, Matt.
Yeah, you might be. I believe that the good Lord has revealed this during a time when I was having some issues with something else, and I believe that you may be. I'm certainly not going to argue with you, Dave.
That's right. That's what this is, what they call interpretation, right? Come on in. Revelation. Naomi, then Bernie. Let's roll. We got 4 minutes.
Did you say me or did you say Revelation first?
Just go.
Okay. So what I have seen is that so many of us have it all in our heads. And I think that's what was Peter's issue was. It was all in his head. And the longest road a person can take is from their head to their heart. And sometimes you have to experience what Peter experienced in order to get down to your heart.
So are you converted? Not you, Naomi. Folks, are you converted? Come on in, Bernie.
Yeah, Coach, I love that. I'm really glad you brought that scripture about, you know, Jesus said, you know, look, Satan wants to sift you, but I prayed for you, because he didn't say, but I kicked his butt, and he didn't say, but right. You'll be raptured. He said, no. I'm praying for you.
And that your faith will not fail not, right? I'm praying that your faith fail not. So get ready, man. It's coming like more than you've ever seen. Because he knew that Peter was saved, but he wasn't converted. They weren't the same. Jeff.
Coach Cassidy spoke Sunday morning about little Ellie, and she said her faith is strengthened.
That's Pastor Bill's daughter who lost her child. Go ahead, Jeff.
So 1 week ago today, she was riding in that ambulance, and she was up there crying, and she said, I prayed. Lord save me. Lord save, you know what I mean? My faith. And then she said, after somebody along the way gave her the little mustard seed in the bottom. And she said, now I realize my faith has got to be stronger now because little Oe is in the arms of Jesus. Not to save him and let him live. And man, she was crying. It was powerful. Just a great. And Pastor Bill did the service and he talked about little Oe always said to him when he's doing something, he said, Papa, look at me. Papa, look at me. He said, and he tied it to this in the sermon, he tied it to little Oe's adventuring around heaven. He's saying, Papa, look at me. It was good. So pray for Jeremy and Cassidy Davis. It's a rough one for him, but thank you.
Can't even imagine. I think I emailed this. Spencer, how do I get this in the chat? I'm going to have posted on our website a video from Dr. Judy Mikovits. It's unbelievable. I was going to get to it. I didn't get a chance to get to it. And folks, listen. Vaccines are poison. That's a good one too. Friends, please hear me. The vaccinated are spreading the virus. The vaccinated are shedding the virus. The vaccinated, friends. Now, it's hard enough for your family and friends to swallow that one, but that's the truth. Judy Mikovits does it. The other one up there with Greg Hunter. I'll get them both up on the website. There's a great, great deception that's going on. Great deception. Hey, listen, 11 o'clock today, Friday on TV. If you're just hanging around, just turn it on in the background, let it play so they see that there's another view that was there. 11 to noon. I still don't know what the show is going to be about, but it's always going to be edgy, going to be a good one, and just excited again for the opportunity. So what a time to be alive, friends. I honor all of you out there that are doing everything that you can to serve the Lord, but are you converted? Are you really converted? Tracy, quickly.
Sorry. I just want to let you know that I was able to download Brighty on my Roku so I can watch it on TV. It wasn't there before, but it was there on Monday, and there's some really great information on that channel.
Unbelievable shows on that. Folks, I'm telling you, Brighty on TV is some unbelievable stuff. Thanks, Tracy. Jerry, real quick. I think I got Jerry right this time, I think.
You did. God bless you, Coach. You were dead on, I think, when he said, I will build my church upon this rock. Excuse me. What I believe he meant was that Peter got revelation from the Father in heaven himself. And that was the rock that he's basing the church upon. So I think he hit the nail on the head, Coach. Just wanted to say that.
Thanks. But say again, we could start a whole theology on that, couldn't we? We could start a we could divide and divide and divide. No, that's not what it says. That's not what it means. No. So listen, Alan Zeifer is going to be in town. Anybody want to go out to eat with us tonight? Come on, you can buy. And he'll be here for a couple of days. I'm sure he'd love to see some of you guys. So God bless y'all. Huh? Are you converted? Are y'all in? Amen. God bless you. See you tomorrow.